You're listening to the Author Stories Podcast, bringing you the story behind the stories and the storytellers.
Margaret Wise,
Terry Brooks,
Sheena Kamal,
Matthew Quick,
J.T. Ellison,
Walt D. Williams,
Brad Thor,
Corey Doctorow,
Brandon Sanderson,
Robin Mom,
Ernest Klein, Jim Butcher,
Sherilyn Harris.
Visit HankGarner.com for archives of all the shows. Today's guest is... Authors, I have a fantastic new service to tell you about. It's called PubSite. PubSite is a service to help you build your very own website, your home on the web, where you can promote your work and give your fans a place to connect with you. PubSite is a website platform that allows every author, regardless of budget, to have a great-looking professional website. Developed by the book marketing professionals at FSB Associates, PubSite is the new easy-to-use DIY website builder developed specifically for books and authors. Whether you're an author of one book or 20, or a small publisher, PubSite allows you to build, design, and most importantly, update your website pain-free. No need to be dependent on a designer or webmaster to make a small but costly change to your website. Save the money and do it yourself. PubSite is the best platform for authors because it's a book-centric platform. PubSite was built just for authors and small publishers. Every design, feature, and layout is book-centric. They have customized designs for you to use. It's easy to build. No coding or HTML is necessary to create a stunning, professional-looking website with all the features you want. Get a custom domain name, yourname.com. It's simple to update. You can add all of your books, add a blog and a book tour, sell from any retailer, manage your email list and social media, and even do e-commerce. Build your website with a 14-day free trial, then pay just $19.99 per month, which includes hosting. And we offer packages starting at $499 to set up the website for you. Pub-site.com, the place to help authors find their home on the web. Beware the Chinaman by Stephen Taylor. The future is electric, but who holds the power? Sent by government agent Howard to pick up a stolen hard drive, Danny soon finds himself fighting for his life as he's chased across Europe by the mysterious and deadly Chinaman. The hard drive holds information to expose an organization called the Board, and its chairman wants it back. The Board's plan is to save the planet and gain global dominance through its ecological empire. The execution of the plan is by any means necessary. Beware the Chinaman, the new thriller by Stephen Taylor. Unleashing Iron, Book 3 of the Unwilling Souls series by Gregory D. Little, arrives April 24th and is available for pre-order now. Cess Lucani has one mission: keep humankind's murderous gods imprisoned. She's about to fail. The gods have achieved the unthinkable, inhabiting human avatars from within their prison's walls. They now gather followers and work to break it open from the outside. One of those avatars is Cess's own father. Just as all seems lost, Cess learns of a recently unearthed artifact so powerful that it can repair the prison and save her father from the possession that is killing him. But in the wrong hands, the artifact could demolish the prison instead of repairing it, and it's already been stolen. In a desperate race to control the object that will save or end the world, Cess faces a devastating choice as she realizes that no one is immune to the artifact's ancient promise of forgotten power. Not her family, not her friends, not even herself. Unleashing Iron is available for pre-order now. Order before April 24th to get the special sale price.
Well, thanks for joining me again for the Author Stories Podcast, where I bring you the story behind the stories and the storytellers. Today, I'm super excited to have Linda Howard and Linda Jones on the show with me today. They co-wrote a phenomenal book. It's called After Sundown, and this is an amazing book, you know, especially when we're all in lockdown quarantine and we're looking for good things to do. This book is a great distraction right now, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Welcome to the show, Linda and Linda.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Absolutely. We begin each show with the same question, and that question is, what is your first memory of wanting to be a writer or storyteller? And Linda Howard, why don't we start with you?
Really, I began writing when I was 9 years old. I had read all of the books in my classroom in school, and I just decided to write my own. I never made a conscious decision about it. I just was.
I love that. I love that. Did, along the way as a kid, were there ever any adults, maybe a parent or a teacher, who recognized that, hey, this kid is constantly writing, and encouraged you in that?
I take that back. My fourth grade teacher did, because I wrote a short story in class because I was bored. And she read it and had me read it out loud to the class. But for the most part, I kept my writing to myself.
At what point did you start writing and decide that, you know, maybe this could be a career, or maybe this is something I want to publish?
It took 20 years of practice. So I was 29 years old.
I love that.
Seriously, I got up one morning and I just felt like it was time to see if I was good enough. So I wrote a book. I sent it in to a publisher. They bought it, and there you go.
Wow. Just like that. No.
Well, no, it was a lot of staying up late at night.
So if we all just give ourselves 20 years of practice, then it's that easy. I got you.
Oh, yeah.
You're a 20-year overnight success is what I'm hearing.
Exactly.
Right. Linda Jones, what about you? What's your first memory of wanting to be a writer or a storyteller?
I was well into my 20s. I didn't get started as early as Linda before I decided that I wanted to try to write. And I did it as a hobby for a long time. My first book was actually published when I was 40. So I took about 10 years of playing with it as a hobby. But I understand, I have been told that when my dad was going to Auburn and we lived in student housing and I was 5 years old, that I wrote newsletters and took them to everybody else in the apartment building and sold them for a penny. So when my parents' friends found out that I was a writer, they weren't surprised.
Speaking of Auburn, both of you live in Alabama, so I have to ask you this. Bama or Auburn?
Auburn.
Roll Tide.
And we still managed to write together.
That's amazing. I'll tell you what, that is that may be the story of the century right there. an Iron Bowl writing team that still gets along. That's amazing. Oh, man. So, Linda Howard, what types of books did you start writing? You got that first book published. What vein were you writing in?
I didn't know it. Well, I'm going to say historical. Basically, Westerns. That one was a practice book. It was what I was interested in at the time. Never finished it and have since destroyed it because I don't want any of that early stuff out there. When I read my first romance, I had a sense of homecoming because it had relationship in there as well as all of the other stuff. As I wrote more and more, I began adding more stuff, more nuances into what I was writing. So I have ventured into sci-fi, adventure, suspense, even a little mystery, just whatever interests me at the time.
Gotcha. Linda Jones, you also started writing kind of historical romance and have branched out in a lot of different areas. How do you describe your writing and how has this been a journey for you to maybe broaden your audience and your writing taste?
I did start out with historicals. And I too have a couple of manuscripts in the closet that every time I find a little chapter here and there, it goes in the shredder. But I've always written a little bit of everything. I've done historical. I did some fairy tale romances. I did some paranormal and some romantic suspense. And like Linda, I write whatever grabs me in the moment. And, I never know where something's going to go until I get started. The After Sundown is very much based in reality, or at least a potential reality. Whereas a lot of the stuff I do is just very lighthearted and paranormal and completely different.
Right. What is it, when you're writing romance or stories with a romantic element, are there certain audience expectations that you have to be careful not to shake the reader up too much? Like, does a story need to follow certain guidelines? How much leeway do you have when you're writing a story with romantic elements?
Is that for me? Let's see.
Sure. Yeah. Linda, yeah. Howard, if you want to take that first.
If you let yourself think too much about expectations, it's paralyzing. But I myself want a happy ending, even if what I'm reading is, say, a suspense or an adventure. I want the good guys to win. You're going to lose me if the bad guys win. As far as romance goes, romance is so varied in that it can encompass all of the other elements. And the one thing everyone wants is a happy ending. But that's what I want too. So in that way, I don't feel constrained by it. If someone said, well, you have to have this element and this other element and they can never be apart, or, you know, just don't even bother with me with that, because I have to tell the story the way it is.
Gotcha. What about you, Linda Jones? Do you feel constrained within a genre, or does that make it easier to tell that kind of story because you know that your readers are coming in with certain expectations?
And I'm like Linda, and I agree with her that it's paralyzing to sit down and try to write a story saying, well, I'm going to have this element and that element, and what is my theme? And, you know, it really will just stop you in your tracks. So you have to tell the story first. And you have to tell it the way it comes to you. Now, it is possible if you're writing for a publisher, an editor may come back and say, you know, we really need to add this element, or, you know, they'll have their own expectations. And it's possible that in rewrites, you can tweak things a little bit. But when you're first telling the story, I personally can't follow any guidelines.
Gotcha. Linda Jones, when you're working on a standalone book, one that you're writing yourself, by yourself, what's the first thing that comes to you? Is it a character? Is it a what-if situation? Is it a setting? How does that first kernel of the story usually come to you?
It's usually character. The character is most important to me. Every now and then there will be a plot that the what if will kind of stay with you for a while. But for me, it's mostly character.
Gotcha. What about you, Linda Howard?
I suppose you could say it's character. For me, it's usually a snippet of a scene. And the scene could be anywhere. It could end up anywhere in the book. It could be at the end. It could be at the beginning. But just, it's like I'm watching a movie in my head and I see this one scene and then I have to build the book around that scene. On the other hand, it can be a title that comes to me, and the title informs the plot. Or like with After Sundown, I think it was the setting in that, Ware's Valley, Tennessee. I think it was the setting that inspired the book.
Nice. I love how each project can be a little different. And when you start thinking back on it to those origins, it's so much fun to see how story can just come from all different kinds of places. Linda Howard, I know this is not the first book that y'all have worked on together, right?
No.
How did you meet Linda Jones?
Through our writing chapter, the Heart of Dixie chapter of Romance Writers of America. And I was one of the first members, and LJ, I think you joined like 10 years later, something like that.
Got that.
And we met through there and just gradually became close friends.
So, Linda Jones, what was the... how did you guys decide to write something together? Because it's a, being friends with someone and encouraging one another and motivating each other is one thing, and it's a whole other thing to say, hey, why don't we collaborate on something?
I had been writing a lot of paranormal romance, and Linda had an idea. This was our first book together, was Bloodborne with a vampire. And so she called me one day and she said, I think we should write this book together. I don't think I would have ever come up with the idea and gone to her. But she said, you know, you've been doing a lot of paranormal. I've got this idea. Let's do it together. And from there, we just went. It's a slow process, though. We write very differently. And it takes us about twice as long to write a book together as it does for each of us to write a book individually.
You see, now that goes against everything that you would assume. If one writer can write a book in 3 months, then two writers should be able to do it in a month and a half or so, the conventional wisdom would say. But that's not how that works, huh?
It is not. The thing is that a lot of people who write books together, they will each take like alternate chapters, or each one of them will do different characters, but we go over every word together and separately and 4 or 5 times. That's what makes it take so long.
That's so funny. Linda Howard, when she first pitched that to you, what was your response?
Oh, I was the one that did the pitching.
Gotcha. When Linda Jones says that it takes twice as long, what's your process like? Who begins with the idea? Do you begin those together? How do you start that first brainstorming session?
I can get started. The brainstorming is the fun part. We will travel together. We actually go up to Ware's Valley, Tennessee, at least a couple times a year, sometimes a little bit more. And we'll be in the car and we'll be talking about ideas, and we can throw things around and, you know, change them. And it's really a fun process to toss ideas back and forth and see how they develop. And it's always different. We really both allow ourselves a lot of freedom in our individual writing. And we do the same thing when we're writing together.
Gotcha. Linda Howard, what do you think about that? How does it feel when a new story starts taking shape when you're co-writing?
You know, you never know what to expect because it's different every time. And it does just come from talking and goofing around together. We had one idea, which was for tarot cards coming to life, going down an escalator at a conference. And it was just a bolt out of the blue. You never know what will trigger a writer's imagination. You just don't.
You don't. It's as varied as anything in this world, that's for sure. Linda Howard, when you're writing by yourself, are you a planner, a plotter, or are you what we call a pantser, where you fly by the seat of your pants and discover the story as you write?
Oh, total seat of my pants. Total. If I know what's going to happen, then I lose interest in it because the story's already told.
Linda Jones, how do you feel about that? Are you a plotter or a pantser?
Oh, no. I am a pantser. And like I love to sit down at the computer and let things just happen. It's like a connection from my brain to the keyboard. And I sometimes don't know on page 20 what's going to happen on page 21. And that's all the fun until you start working with someone else who's also a pantser. And we end up in different
directions. Well, that's my obvious next question is, does that change when you work together? And how do two pantsers, charge forward with a story when no one knows where it's going?
Oh, well, yeah, that does bring up problems.
Yep.
No, the thing is, we write. Sometimes we will separately write the same scene, not knowing that we're doing it, and then send it to each other. And it's like, oh, well, I just wrote that. So our brains tend to go in the same direction, but it's fits and starts because we don't plan ahead. We just take it as we work it out like life is happening.
Well, Linda Jones, how do y'all physically share the writing duties? Do one of you write one scene and hand it off to the other? Like what's the mechanism that you guys use to do that?
A lot of times we do just that. We will know what's coming and it's like, okay, you write this scene and then the other person, you know, you write this scene over here and then we will email them back and forth. Read them through, make sure they're consistent, put them where they go, read all that through. And then it's like, okay, what happens next? You write this scene, I'll write this scene. And then the emailing back and forth. And each one of us making changes, tweaking a little bit as we go, which is why it takes so much longer for us to work together.
And is this just a Word document that gets emailed back and forth?
Word or Pages? We both have Macs. Gotcha. And a lot of times we work in Pages and then export it over to Word at the end.
Gotcha. Are you each working on individual projects while you're working on this co-writing project, or do you focus solely on your co-writing project when that's going on?
I wish I could write on two projects at once because I write faster than write my first draft very fast, much faster than Linda does. And I have tried in the past when I'm like waiting for her to kind of get to her space to work on something else, and I can't do it. My brain just does not go there. I have to work on one project at a time.
Gotcha. What about you, Linda Howard? Can you work on multiple things at once?
No, and it annoys the heck out of me because I can read more than one book at once.
Right.
But cannot work on two different projects at once.
Oh, it's like these characters just invade your entire mind and they demand their own space, don't they?
Yes, they certainly do. And until I get their story told, I cannot move on to another story.
Well, the new book that the two of you have co-written together is called After Sundown. This is an amazing book. Did I understand right, Linda Howard, that you had the initial idea for this book?
I honestly don't remember. I know we are both very into being prepared. For instance, I have not had to buy a toilet during this quarantine because I had plenty of toilet paper.
Right.
But that section, Ware's Valley and the Townsend area, is very
suited for long-term survival in bad situations. So, you know, just talking, it was, we just started kicking the idea around. I literally have no idea. I think it just developed without one person coming up with the idea. I think it just developed.
Gotcha. Linda Jones, when it's time to start a new project together, or, I mean, do you guys have a schedule where you say we're going to write a book together a year and it's time to do a co-writing project, or does it just evolve out of a conversation? How does a new project begin for the two of you?
We, neither one of us is very good at planning, not just individual books, but it's we just kind of go with the flow. Something will come up. We'll start kicking it around. All of the books we've written have been very different. So it's difficult to plan. It's like an idea that will grab us that seems like it would be a good one for us to write together, which sounds very, very unorganized, which I am. So.
Well, Linda Howard talked about this setting that really captured her imagination and brought out all these possibilities. But the book is very character driven, and we've got these characters of Selah and Ben that are amazing characters and really drive the story. Where did these two characters come from, Linda Jones?
They developed to suit the situation, which is very different from, I mean, normally for me, you start with the character first and then the situation develops. We had this situation in mind, and the characters evolved because this was who they needed to be. We had to talk them out a lot. They're not always, in our minds, we don't always see the characters exactly the same when we start. So they developed slowly the same way the plot did, if that makes any sense at all, which I'm not sure that it does. But again, a lot of it comes from us just sitting back and talking about the characters and letting them flow from there.
Linda Howard, when a new project first starts up and you start getting excited about this, the new story and the new characters, and you know how that the beginning of a book can be very energizing. How long did it take before you started envisioning where the story was going to go?
You know, we kicked the idea around for so long, and the characters evolved, and they're actually not a lot like we were originally thinking. But as we talk things out, they become more concrete. You know, writing is such an organic thing for us, and every situation is different. So I can't give you a definitive answer on that.
Oh man. This book feels very timely right now. And, you know, we touched on that a minute ago, that, you know, who would have known when you guys started this book, I'm guessing a year or more ago, that the subject matter would hit home, as closely as it has to the world we're living in right now. That's bizarre to me how, you know, books come to be right when they seem to be needed the most. What do you guys feel about the, you know, how readers are embracing this book now, because it is helping them deal with, you know, the feelings of being isolated and alone?
That's a tough question. We actually, I think we finished this book a year ago, or maybe a little bit more. So we've been working on it for 2 years and probably talking about it for three.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it'd be nice. You know, maybe people will read this and they'll get a little bit more prepared. They'll stock up their pantry. They'll, you know, be more ready to go. But it never crossed my mind that that it would come just at this time when people need to be prepared.
Right. Right. And they need encouragement. They like you guys were talking earlier, you know, both of you mentioned that, you know, in your reading, if you're going to invest in a book and characters, you really need there to be a happy ending. We need the good guys to come out on top. And right now we need a story that, that there's some hope at the end. Linda Howard, how do you feel about that?
I think you not only need hope, but you need, in this case, kind of a guideline to say, get ready, because you don't know what's going to happen. And by the way, a CME is very, very possible, which is a coronal mass ejection. We dodged a bullet just a few years ago, a massive one, just barely missed Earth. But this book, you don't know how strange it is that it came out just at this time, because it was originally supposed to be a paperback book that was released last year. But when we turned the manuscript in, the publisher liked it so much, they pulled it out of paperback and said, we're putting this out in hardback. And that delayed it until right now.
And thank God it did. This is serendipity or whatever you want to call it. But this is an amazing book for times like this. Linda, will we see any more stories from Cela and Ben? Is this the end of their story? Do you guys ever think about taking one of your co-writing projects and making a series out of it?
Oh, we'd probably kill each other.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
That's so funny.
You know, seriously, I get bored with the same story, and I think LJ does too. On the other hand, I think this would make a really great television series.
You're absolutely right there. I could definitely see this as a television series, and maybe there'll be talk of that. Let's keep our fingers crossed. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say it would be interesting.
It would for sure. If readers are just learning about each of you, Linda Howard, where can people find you online if they want to connect with you and dig into all the amazing stuff that you do?
LJ and I share a Facebook page. It's Linda Howard / Linda Jones. And I also have a website, Linda Howard Writes. No, LindaHowardBooks.com.
Linda Jones, where can people connect with you?
I also have a website. It's LindaWinsteadJones.com. But I suggest people go to the Facebook page. We post there every day. We have lots of discussions. It's a good place to get to know us if anybody's interested.
Absolutely. Well, there are links to the book After Sundown. This is an amazing read. You definitely need to have this on your bookshelf. And I'll also link up your websites and for sure the Facebook page in the show notes of this episode where everyone can find it. Linda Howard and Linda Jones, this has been so much fun talking. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
I've enjoyed it.
Before We Ever Spoke by Dan Largent. Cleveland, Ohio, 2006. After a chance encounter, three people soon find out that life can sometimes thrust us into the public eye, even when taking great measures to avoid it. Cooper Madison was the best pitcher in baseball after being drafted number one overall in 1996 from the small Gulf Coast town of Pass Christian, Mississippi. One year after announcing his sudden and shocking retirement, he finds himself seeking anonymity in Cleveland, Ohio. Kara Knox is the youngest sibling to three older brothers. After a tragic work accident to her closest relative, she has built up a tough exterior as she begins her final year of college at Cleveland State University. Jason Knox, Kara's oldest brother, is the lead detective on Cleveland's Edgewater Park Killer case. After months without a suspect, he's feeling the heat from his media-hungry chief. Serendipity intervenes, and all three learn that perception and reality are paths that rarely ever intersect. Before We Ever Spoke by Dan Largent. Hey folks, you really ought to check out Patricia Gillum's Heroes of Corvus series. Book one is called A Superhero's Duty, a fight between a second-generation superhero named Red Bolt and a villain-for-hire named Icarus goes terribly wrong, resulting in the drowning deaths of three innocent civilians and orphaning a six-year-old boy. Racked with guilt, Red Bolt visits Cameron Wilson at the hospital every night and won't leave the boy's side until he falls asleep. Befriended by a night shift nurse, the man in costume begins to disclose what really happened after the fight and why he feels the death of Cameron's parents and sister fall on his actions. A superhero didn't survive that night, and Cameron and the rest of the city are not out of danger. A Superhero's Duty, Book 1 of the Heroes of Corvus by Patricia Gillum. Get this series now.